You know, I really didn't want to do another episode right now. I got too much shit on my plate. Too busy. You know? It's not like I have millions of fans waiting for me to put out a new episode. It's just not the case right now. But, I don't know. I feel like I needed to do something. I needed to at least take an hour, half hour out of my day and just talk about what's going on, you know, in all aspects. I just got to be careful over here. I'm in the hood right now. I don't like this neighborhood at all. It's this little fucking community in Jersey City. And I don't know. The GPS always takes me through here. And I fucking hate it. Everybody's hanging out. It's not like a bunch of kids hanging out having a good time. No. Right in the fucking middle of the projects right now. There's broken down cars everywhere. Needles, fucking stems, everything. Just get away from me. Why are there fucking... There should be not one area of America that looks like this. Nobody should be living like this. But anyway, I wanted to take the time out and just recap on what's been going on. At least the last three, the previous 3 weeks since the last time I put an episode up. So with the few fans that I do have, not fans, the few listeners I have, you know, I apologize. Whatever, you know, I mean, I'm got other things going on. All right. This isn't my first priority. I really don't give a fuck about it. Not that I don't give a fuck about it, but, you know, it's not like I make any money from this shit. I don't. But it's good to have, because, you know, when certain things happen, I want to be able to voice my opinion and for some people to listen to it. I think that's important. And in this day and age with this whole podcasting where you can make podcasts, where anybody can make a podcast, I mean, I think it's amazing. I really do. I think this is a beautiful thing, and I wanted to take advantage of it. So that's what I'm doing. But as some of you may know, I've been studying for the Series 7 for about 6 months. It's fucking hard. I basically never studied my whole life. I cannot think of one exam I actually studied hard for. Besides maybe the life insurance exam for New York State. And I really didn't do a good job studying with that. I failed 4 fucking times. But I did pass eventually. But I didn't study the way I should have. Because when I look back at it, it's really not a hard test. 100 questions, you know, 10 experimental. No reason why I should have fucking failed it more than once. But I was 22 years old. I was doing other shit that I shouldn't have been doing. I was anything but focused. And, you know, but this was different. This is an opportunity that I have, that I was given, that I don't want to pass up. I really don't. I mean, I was offered a job on Wall Street in the stock market, you know, as a, I guess you could consider it a stockbroker, but more than a stockbroker, more like a financial advisor. But you start off as a trader, as a stockbroker, which is something I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to be a stockbroker my whole life. I guess maybe because my father was one. And I just, besides that, I always was intrigued by the market. I always was like, wow, like, that's crazy. Like, no matter what, no matter what's going on in the world, the stock market is in a world of its own. And it has all these patterns, these sectors, everything. It's just so intriguing to me, you know, and it's connected to everything. Don't get me wrong, but it also has its own thing, you know. In the stock market world, in the stockbroker world, you're connected to the rest of the world in so many ways, and you're separated in so many ways. You know, and I love it. I always loved the energy, and I was always told that, you know, the stock market's not the way it used to be, being a stockbroker ain't nothing like it was in the 90s. Like, yeah, no shit. Everybody saw the fucking movie. And I know my father, who was wrapped up in plenty of that shit. right? So I heard all the stories. So I kind of understand why it's not the same way anymore. Although I do wish it was like that. But I come to find out that, no. Yeah, okay, fine. It's not the same way. But people are still making tons and tons of money and doing good work. You're always going to have the crooks. But you're always going to also have the guys that are just really good at their job. They're dedicated and they want to help people out along with helping them their families out. You know, and something I always wanted to do. And I put in an application when I don't really remember putting an application in for this place. So I remember I got a call. I said, yeah, is this Mr. Lawrence Dugo? Yeah. Who is this? And he's like, yeah, this is Rich from, I'm not going to say the company name. You know, we got your application. We'd like to come in for an interview. I was like, what? And I was like, where are you from again? And he told me. I was like, get the fuck out of here. I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. He's like, when are you available? I said, I don't care. Yesterday, I told him. Because I really wanted, I couldn't believe I got a call from these guys. I mean, in a weird way, it's like a dream come true. Because of how I always wanted to do this, and it's in downtown right off of Wall Street. I mean, this is something that I've always aspired to be, but I was discouraged by other people and was told to stay away from that industry. And there's your lesson right there, folks. I don't like when people call other people folks. Sorry. But there's your example of why you should not only listen to other people, right? You got one guy that has a bad experience on Wall Street, and he tells everybody he comes in contact with, no, don't go Wall Street, it sucks, not the way I used to, you know, but this guy, he fails to tell you that he sucked at his job, or other shit went on, or he was a crook, you know? So, if you really have a desire to do something, right? A burning desire, and you know enough about it, to where it's not just like a pipe dream as a kid, you know? Just go for it. Who gives a flying fuck? You know, when you're at my age, right? I'm 26 years old. I consider myself old. I really do. It sucks, but I do. You know, I consider myself almost like, all right, I'm done. You know, like I said, I'm very hard on myself, but what do you have to lose? Just take it. Listen, with I'm doing right now, listen, I could end up starting and I could be the worst. I could not make one fucking sale and I could end up hating it. I don't know. But number one, I'm getting licensed on them for free for the Series 7. Now, that is like having a degree, almost having a master's in the finance world, because you can't just wake up and say, you know what, I feel like taking the Series 7. It doesn't work like that at all. You need to have a company hire you and sponsor you in order for you to even start studying for this fucking test and to take it. So it's a hot commodity. So if you have that under your belt, you're already at the top of the food chain, right? So, okay, I end up, let's say, I end up hating the firm or whatever it is, that scenario. All right, well, I could just go somewhere else and be like, listen, I'm brand new. I really didn't make money, but I know I could. I had a really bad experience with this firm, blah, blah, blah. I would really appreciate, joining a firm and giving me a shot. And you'll be put at the top of the list over all the guys that don't have their license yet. Naturally, you know? So, there's one thing right there. All right. Now, the other thing is, if I end up hating the industry, which is possible, I mean, I love it, but I could end up hating it. You know, you could sit there and say, oh, I wasted a fucking year of my life studying and working for this company that made me no money. I hate it. You could look at it like that and think of it as a waste of time, or you could look at it as a notch in your belt. You learned, no matter what, even if you hate the industry, you know more than 99% of the people in this country about the stock market now. So whether you hate working for a firm, let's say you hate working for a firm, right? All right. But you're still intrigued with the market, you could start trading. You could trade on your own. And you'll learn as you go, and you still know more than the average construction worker who has a few extra dollars that puts it into Robinhood. You know? So, what I'm saying, and I didn't even start yet, but I'll tell you right now, if you have a passion for something, if you always wanted to become a certain thing, and you know a lot about it, just give it a shot. Give it a fucking shot. Don't worry about what other people tell you. It doesn't matter if it's your father. Just do it. Just fucking go for it. I hate to quote Nike, but just do it. And you find out as you go. Especially if you're young, if you're in your 20s, man. Fuck it. Fuck it. I can't even tell you guys how many jobs I've had. You know, how many industries. I've been on just about every end of the spectrum. I've worked in the food business. I've managed delis. I've basically co-managed, you know, produce departments. Assistant manager, I mean. I ran my father's private transportation company. I ran it for 2-3 years. Payroll, dispatching, hiring, firing, you name it. I did that too. I worked at my father's bagel store from the ages of 9 to 12 years old. Actual work. Now, I'm going to bring my son to work and I'm going to have him clean a few tables. I'm talking, I was making bacon, egg, and cheeses for hundreds and hundreds of customers a week. They had to put a bagel rack in front of me so the customers didn't see a 10-year-old kid standing on top of a milk crate making a bacon, egg, and cheese. You know, I worked construction. I worked construction for almost 2 years for a private company for a good friend of mine on Staten Island. I learned a lot doing that. He was a painter, but he ended up doing tons of construction. All different types. You name it, I did it. I did cement and concrete. I did bricklaying. Painting. Taping. A little bit of plumbing, a little bit of electric. Carpentry I did. Only thing I didn't do was HVAC. Because that's a whole different story. HVAC and boilers I didn't fuck with, but I have a basic knowledge on just about every part of construction. A basic knowledge. With the exception of painting. You know, painting and taping, I'm pretty damn good at it. You know, that's what he was one of the best painters I've ever known. And he taught me everything. He was very anal. He was a pain in the ass because he was so anal about being clean. And I realized, wow, like, that's why he's so fucking good. So I learned I learned from the best, right? And I sucked everything in. I mean, we worked on pretty high-profile people. We were the ones who did Pete Davidson's basement. You know, for those of you younger people that, you know, keep up with what's going on, you know that Pete Davidson bought a house with his mom, right? This big house on Staten Island, and he redid his basement. Me and my boss, we were the contractors of that whole job. I was there every single day for about 4 months, from start to finish. We gutted the whole place, right? We gutted the whole fucking place. You know, we had subcontractors come in and do the, you know, we had one company do the plumbing, one did the electric, one did the HVAC, one did, you know, the taping and shit. But I was there every single day doing work. We did the carpentry. I put up all the walls with my boss and a few other guys. You know, I hung out with Pete Davidson a bunch of times. His mom, I knew his sister, you know. But my point is, I'm not bragging. But I learned a lot, right? I learned a lot, and I could have a conversation with a guy in construction and not be fucking, not be lost in the sauce. I could have a somewhat knowledgeable conversation with somebody else. And I realized, me personally, I'm all about that. I want to know a little bit about everything. I don't got to be an expert at everything. You know, but I want to be able to at least know what I'm talking about with just about anything I come across. I know business because I ran businesses before. You know, I know the food business too fucking well. Deli business, the supermarket business, produce business. I did orders for them, inventory, you know, displays, you name it. I did security in Manhattan for 3 months. I worked in Chelsea Market overnight, every single night from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. That was one of the worst jobs I've ever had. I was the only white guy. I was the only guy under the age of fucking 40. I was 22 years old. 21, actually. No, I wasn't even 21. I was 20 years old. Everybody else was at least 40, 50 years old. All retirees and shit like that. Everybody was, you know, either Puerto Rican or black, which whatever, I don't give a shit about that, but it was just funny. I had no place being there. But at that time, I wanted to be a cop, and I said, you know what, that would be a really good thing to put on my resume to, you know, and my uncle who owned that company, he is a retired detective in the NYPD, and he would have got me in anywhere. He would have fucking had the NYPD pay for the rest of my college. That's what he told me. And he said, you pick whatever precinct you want to fucking be in, we got you. So, I've been everywhere. I've been in almost every single industry you could think of, with the exception of a few. And the point is, I'm a worker, and I stay dedicated to what I do, even though I get tired of things quick, you know? But it's important to stay focused, and it's important to strive to be the best at whatever you do. I mean, I know this sounds like a fucking motivational speech. I'm not Tony Robbins, but I'm saying out of experience and out of failures of my own, because I failed plenty of fucking times. I failed so many times. I worked in the insurance industry. I didn't make one fucking sale with one of the jobs. Not one. Granted, it was a tough situation. You know, my parents, you know, we had to move out of my house. In between houses, it was rough, you know. Not to make excuses, but anybody would be shaken up by that. You know, and but you got to take failure as a positive thing. Like, okay, I learned about this, I learned about that. And you take that and you use it to your advantage. Like, I'm going into this fucking business as soon as I pass. I'm going in there with an attitude that I've never had before. I mean, a fucking attitude. I got no distractions. I'm fucking single as more than I've ever been single in my life. For the last 12 years, I've always had some kind of girlfriend. Now I have nobody. So I'm going to use it to my advantage. Fuck it. I got no distractions. And I put hundreds and hundreds of hours into studying, researching on my own about this industry. People who got very wealthy, people who sucked. And I'm still taking everything in. Because I want to be the best at this industry. I really do. And I don't want to settle for anything less. So, that's my diatribe about that. Now, I'll tell you what. One of the reasons why I think I failed, it's not because it was a lack of studying. It's because I paid too much attention to all the bullshit politics that's been going on. Okay? That's on me. I could have very easily just fucking shut it out of my life for 6 months. But for some reason, I have this dire interest in this stupid politics, man. It's like cancer. It's horrible. But it's just something I'm really passionate about. I mean, honestly, if I end up not doing working on Wall Street, I might just run for mayor. I really would. I really fucking would. Mayor in New York City, man, I would do it in a heartbeat. That's another thing I always wanted to do, especially after de Blasio. I'm like, yo, I could fucking run this city better than him while I'm high on crack. You know? But anyway, I wanted to go into Michelle Obama, into her little speech about how if you're white, you're a racist, basically, and all, like, you know, 300 million people are blind and deaf, and all of our eyes are deceiving us, as in the riots and the looting that we're seeing from primarily black people and white people, tons of white people, don't get me wrong, but a ton of blacks by Black Lives Matter. If she's telling us that we're wrong, that we're not seeing what we're actually seeing, we're not seeing black people rioting, that's just us being seeing life through racist lenses or some shit like that, give me a fucking break. But I don't even have the fucking energy. And I'm sorry to say it, but anybody who listened to that fucking speech and shook their head said, yes, Michelle, you're so right. Michelle, you speaking facts. You're a fucking idiot. You're a fucking idiot, and you deserve to get your fucking voting rights stripped away from you for life. You really should. Because if you look at that fucking woman, or whatever she is, I don't know, she seems like a chick with a dick. A he-she with a pee-she, as my father would say. If you listen to that, and you really think that she said some really good points, you really got a fucking problem. You got a mental blockage. Because all she did was spew hatred, lies, and racism against white people. That's all she did. She basically told 300 million people that your eyes are deceiving you. You're not seeing what you're seeing. Think about that for 1 minute. It's sick in the fucking head. But I'm not even going to waste my time or my breath. Because if you can't figure that out by now, what she really is about, then you're fucked. You're a lost cause, and I got nothing to say to you. Nothing to say to you. Let's talk about the riots. This is something I've been thinking about for a while. It didn't start at this, what I'm about to say, but it definitely amplified everything. When I heard a few months ago that big group of BLM and Antifa screaming, "Who do we protect? Black criminals." That shit fucking hit me hard. I said, wow. Wow. That is just, that's just a, like, I was at loss for, my jaw hit the floor, man. I couldn't believe what I heard. I was like, there's no way that they actually, this had to be some kind of satire. That's something you would find in the fucking Onion or the Babylon Bee. There is no way that you have BLM rioters and protesters screaming as a chant, "Who do we protect? Black criminals." What the fuck? So you are saying, I'm going to act like a journalist now. So you are saying that even if the black dude shoots at the cop and the cop shoots back and kills him, you're going to riot for that black dude. You're going to cause an uproar over him being shot and killed. And that's the truth, because they're doing it. I could think of so many fucking instances. Jake Blake. What did Jake Blake do, guys? Anybody know? Do I really have to waste my breath? Because I'm drooling right now over how many things I gotta say. Jake Blake had a knife in his hand, and he was going to the car to get another knife, which they found in the wheel well of the driver's seat. Plus, there were two kids in the car that he was gonna fucking abduct. Okay, that's number one. Reaching into a car while the cop is telling you to stop and put your hands up while having a knife, you're gonna get shot in the back. And don't give me that, oh, he could have shot him once or in the ankle. No, you stupid fuck. You guys don't understand what it's like to be shot. Because you could get shot in a certain part of your body. When your adrenaline's going, you might not even feel it. We've seen it numerous times with these people, especially on drugs. When they're fucking charging at a cop and they're all high out of their fucking minds on bath salts or crack, and they get shot by the cop a bunch of times, and they're still going after him. We just saw a black dude go after a fucking woman cop with a big steak knife, get shot 4 or 5 times, and he's still up, getting tased, nothing, like, he shakes it off like it's nothing. So these people don't get it. They don't understand, because they live in their little bubble. They never had any kind of any kind of struggle. They never lived in the hood. They never had any kind of confrontation. They lived the privileged life, these white liberals. So I could think of dozens and dozens of instances where the black dude is shot and killed by the cops because he is a threat to the people, the community, or the cop, or even himself. So think about it. And it just happened again. A guy, a black dude, had a stolen gun, shot the gun, the cops kill him, and they rioted over the fact that the cop was just released on no charges. 8 months later, 9 months later. What? The guy shot at the cops! Same thing with Breonna Taylor. Her boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, shot at the cops first, and she was caught in the crossfire. What the fuck is so hard to understand? But I realize this. It doesn't make a difference what the facts are. It really doesn't. The only thing that matters to these fucking sick people is that a black man was shot and killed by white cops. It doesn't matter the context. It doesn't matter the evidence or even what happened at all. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant for the fact, you know, to the fact that the black man was shooting at the police and shot a cop in his fucking leg, almost killed him because he severed a main artery. That don't matter. Because, and it's not like they just don't know, and if you tell them, like, oh, shit, really, that happened? Well, I guess you're right. I guess we should have never rioted. We're going to stop now. It doesn't work like that. You could tell them the truth till you're blue in the face. And a lot of them be like, yeah, so? They won't even deny it. They won't say, like, no, you're getting your facts fucked up. They'll be like, yeah, okay, so what? So then you say, well, so you're saying that black people should be allowed to do anything with immunity, with impunity, whatever the word is. So they should be able to shoot at cops. They should be able to cause mayhem without repercussions. Is that what you're saying? And they will say yes. A lot of them will say yes. Because, and these are white people too. A lot of them are white people that will say that. Because they are so guilty of being actually racist, right? They're so guilty and they're so weak that they are willing to give black people all the excuses in the world to get them back into the graces. That this isn't theories anymore. It's so evident that this is the way they are. I mean, I don't know, man. If I was a black person and you had a bunch of white people making excuses for me, like I was a fucking retard. Like, that's what you do if you have, like, a mentally ill brother or sister. And let's say your brother or sister, you know, breaks a vase, right? And you say, oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. It happens. You know, he has an excuse. He's a little, you know, he's touched. That's what these white liberals, that's how they treat blacks. No, it's okay. It's okay. You could shoot at cops. You have an excuse. You know, it's okay. They're fine. No, you do what you gotta do. It's okay. You have an excuse because your great-great-great-great-grandfather was a slave. White liberals treat black people like they're pets and like they're retarded. And a lot of black people are realizing that. And the way I look at it is, no, I'm not going to treat you any different because you're a different skin color than me. I'm going to hold you to the same standards as I would hold anybody else. You know why? Because I look at you, black people, as my equal. So if you commit a crime, I expect you to get the same charge as if I committed the crime. And I'm not going to give you an excuse because I don't think that you're retarded. I don't think that you're slighted. I don't think that you are any less of a human being than me. And I'm so glad that this thought is becoming more mainstream. Because I've been saying that white leftists, white liberals, really treat black people like they are the inferior people. I've been saying that for years, but I never had a voice to really broadcast it, you know, to even say it. And now it's coming out. And black people are saying it. They're real like, wow, like, this is crazy, man. This is crazy. Don't treat me like I'm any less than you. You're supposed to hold everybody to the same fucking, to the same level. Why are you treating me different? I'm not fucking retarded. The liberals, these white liberals are racist people. They are so fucking racist. It's crazy. It's crazy. Now, here's another controversial thing, which it makes no sense why it's controversial. Because facts are not controversial. They're not. Facts are facts. They don't care about your feelings. Period. And there's no such thing as a hate fact. That's like the stupidest thing I've ever heard. A hate fact? No. It's a fact. When I say that black people in America, despite making up 13% of the population, they commit 51% of all violent crimes. How is that a hate fact? It's not, because it's just a fact. Those are the numbers, and by the way, those numbers are bullshit. They are much fucking worse. And that's not an opinion either, because when you say 13% of the population commits 51% of the crimes, you're lumping in the old black people, the old black woman that makes really good cornbread, or the little black baby that was just born a week ago. It's not the elderly black people that are committing crimes. And it's not the young children that are committing the crimes either. The young black children. It's the young adults, ages around 16 to around 40. That's about 3 to 4% of the black community. So essentially, 4%, I'll be generous, 4% of the population in general commits 51% of all violent crimes in America. Now, if you bring this up to a libtard, first what they'll do is call you a racist piece of shit, right? Which honestly means absolutely nothing to me anymore. Calling me a racist now is basically calling me a jerk. They totally diminish the meaning by using it on everybody who they disagree with, regardless if they're racist or not. So calling somebody racist does not hold any meaning anymore, like at all. So go ahead, call me racist. I really don't give a fuck. I know I'm not a racist person. I just explained that. I think of every person as my equal. But first they're going to call you a racist piece of shit. And then they're going to say, well, it's because of economic disparities. It's because of the systemic racism that puts them into poverty. Like, what? What? No. No. It's not. When was the last... Listen. But everybody knows that black people went through some terrible shit in history, in American history. Slavery was terrible. The Jim Crow era was terrible. But they're long gone. There are zero laws on the books. Zero laws on the books that discriminate against black people or anybody. We worked very hard to fucking clean that shit up. And thank God we did. 99.9999% of people of America agree with that statement. Okay? But once again, this is why the left is racist. Instead of passing the blame onto the people who are committing the crimes, you pass it on to everybody else. You say it's because of systemic racism. It's because of the poverty. Like, no. No, because there are plenty of poor white neighborhoods that do not commit nearly the amount of crime. Okay? How about this? And this is where I really think it hits home. I believe that the black culture is shit. Let that sink in for a second. The black culture has turned into absolute dog shit. And I'll tell you why. If you turn on the radio, you turn on Hot 97 or Power 105.1, and you listen to the words of those rap songs, right? You hear about rape. You hear about womanizing. You hear about murder, robbing, stealing, tons of drugs, drug use, drug dealing, shooting people, guns, being vain, materialistic, showing off your fucking all your really expensive shit. Nothing in those rap songs could help a society. And naturally, these young black people, they look up to these rappers, right? They hear these rap songs and they look up to them. Like, I want to be like that. Why? Because, wow, he looks just like me and he has all the girls. He has a really nice cause. I'm going to do whatever he does to get to that point. And what he does is he sells drugs. He has guns. He fucks mad bitches and abuses them. He robs people. These aren't theories, people. You could hear it for yourself. And listen, I'm 26 years old. I grew up listening to rap. I used to get so annoyed with my dad when he would say, turn that shit off. It's nothing but negative shit. It's teaching you the wrong things. I used to get so mad. And then I realized, no, he's fucking right. It's right. When a kid's mind is like a sponge, you got to be very careful with what you put into it, right? If you constantly fill a kid's brain with negative shit, with drugs, with all the crazy shit that goes on in these rap songs, it's going to affect them in a negative way. It's not going to be good. It's just not. And that turns so many kids into criminals. It does. Because they end up idolizing the wrong people. And this goes along with my favorite theory of the fatherless households is the number one reason why the black community is in shambles. As a young boy, naturally you look up to your dad, and you want to be just like your dad. I still want to be like my dad. I'm 26. And if you don't have a dad, you look for the next guy in your life to look up to. Right? So let's say you, like 79% of young black children, they grew up without a dad. So who's the next man in line to look up to? It's either their uncle who has been in and out of jail 100 times, or the big shot on the street who treats you like a little brother, right? But, and you look up to him because he has so many friends. He's so cool. Everybody loves him. He's really well respected. He always has pretty girls on each arm. He got all the money in the world. He has beautiful cars. He has everything he wants. And that's That is what a young boy is going to look up to, unless he has someone in his life saying, no, 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 you don't, you're not supposed to look up to them. You got to stay away from them. Look up to somebody who is a success, who's a good person, but nobody's there to tell them that because they're raised by these mothers who half the time aren't even their mothers. It's their sisters who raised them, who are also young, and they look up to shit, right? Or their grandparents raised them, and their grandparents are too old to really pay attention to these kids. So what they're left with what? They're left with the scumbag drug dealer on the street to look up to. And before you know it, that drug dealer who you look up to, he takes you under his wing because he knows that you don't have a dad to fucking beat the shit out of him or to set you straight or him straight. So he takes you under his wing and he says to himself, this kid would be good at doing my dirty work and maybe we'll throw him a bone. Right? So he takes him under his wing. He teaches him little thing, little petty shit. Hey, go get me a candy bar from the store. I got no money. Just take it. Don't worry about it. Just be smart about it. Be cool. Be cool. And I'll take care of you. You do that, you get more comfortable doing that. And then you move on to bigger things. Yo, go steal that kid's wallet. It's hanging out of his pocket. And if nobody's constantly telling you in your head, that's bad, that's bad, you're going to keep doing it because you keep getting rewarded. Because you're constantly around these really cool people. And now you got friends. Now you're respected. Because you're hanging around with the people who are respected. It's a vicious cycle. And before you know it, now the guy who you looked up to, he's in fucking jail. Right? Now you're all fucked up. You're depressed. Because your idol is gone. Just like if your dad went away to prison. And you're going to naturally act out because you're missing your idol. And you try to remember what he was like, and you start acting like him even more. And then you start getting into the real bad shit. Then you start sticking people up. Then you start selling drugs because your idol was selling drugs. And whatever he was doing, I want to do because he was so cool and he had all the friends in the world. And it's a vicious cycle. Now, and then, here's the best part. You always saw... You knew that your idol had some kids, bunch of different kids with different women that were really good-looking women. They were hot. You start doing that at 14 years old. What do? You knock up a fucking girl. Now you have a baby. But you can't raise it because you don't got fucking money like that. And even if you did, you're not going to spend it on child support because your idol didn't. Your idol never talked about his kids, never took his kids to go play, never fed his kids. All he heard was, yeah, my baby's mama's fucking hunting me down for money. She ain't getting shit. And if there's any black people that are fucking listening, don't lie. You know everything I'm saying is so on point. And so the kid is gonna do exactly that. All of a sudden, he's going to start hearing about child support. And he's going to say, fuck that bitch. I ain't giving a shit. Why? Because he heard his idol say it. And it keeps going on and going on. And guess what? You're going to go to jail. That little kid that you were, you're going to grow up. You're going to go to jail just like your idol. Now your son is going to grow up without a dad. And guess what? He's going to look for an idol to look up to. And you're not going to be there. And who's he going to look up to? Another thug on the street that has all the friends, all the money, all the girls, all the cars. And he's going to fall right into that trap. And that's why you got generations and generations of people, of black people, doing the same shit, all going to jail like clockwork, dying at age 30, gangs, drugs, poverty. And that's why it looks like they're predisposed to be like that when they're not. They're not. But that's what is happening. It's a vicious cycle. And that is to me the number one reason why the black community is fucked right now. Now the reason why, in my opinion, that it starts out with black fathers, right? The reason why the black fathers leave, because it wasn't always like that, because in the 30s and I'd say up to the 50s and before, black families stayed together more than white families, right? Divorce rate was almost non-existent. But as soon as the Democratic Party took over, they incentivized women to have babies out of wedlock and kick the dad out, because as long as there's no father living in the home with the children, that mom could get government money. But as soon as they find out that father is living in the home and providing, they're cut off from welfare. So they incentivize single motherhood. And it just morphs into this thing where the fathers, they don't remember having a father, and their father don't remember having their father, so they don't think it's important to be a father. That is my fucking theory, and I know I'm right. There is no disputing what I'm saying. I'm sorry. There is none. There is the systemic racism bullshit. The only fucking case that they have for systemic racism is what the Democratic Party has done to them since the 60s. That's it. So sure, there's your case for fucking systemic racism. And you, black people, are facilitating it. You're voting for it. You're voting for your own demise. It's kind of like digging your own grave. Knowingly. Wake the fuck up, man. When something doesn't work and hasn't worked for generations and generations, a fucking person with a half a brain would say, oh, maybe we should try something different. The definition of insanity is doing something over and over and over again, expecting the same result. The black community is insanity. And you gotta get the fuck out of that mentality, man. The victim mentality doesn't work. It does not fucking put money in your pocket. It doesn't make you a better person. It gives you more excuses. And when you give yourself more excuses, you tend to make more of those fucking mistakes. Because you say to yourself, well, I have an excuse. So it's okay. It must be okay. Systemic racism. So that's why I'm acting like this. That's why I'm committing crimes. So I have an excuse. No. It don't work like that. So, that's what I had to say. My mouth is dry as a bone right now. I need a cup of water. I'm ending this right now. I'm tired. I gotta finish up some work. But I hope you guys really listen to this. And if you know any black friends, if you have any black friends, make them listen to this. Make them listen to it. I mean, you gotta fucking, we gotta try to help these people out, right? Because it's no secret that the black community is the community that struggles the most in America, right? There's no secret. So, let's pray for Donald Trump. He just got out of the hospital a few days ago. Let's pray for this country because, we're a mess right now. But we're going to be okay because we're the strongest country in the world. We got the best citizens in the world. And let's keep America great.